Amen. Thank you, Brother Charles. Abraham Lincoln is credited with saying, "No one is poor who has a godly mother." You know, it's hard to describe the magnitude of the influence that mothers have. It's hard to do a mother's influence justice. I like the quote that says, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." But you know, it's easy to get a little bit discouraged in the day and age in which we live because our culture doesn't exactly help us to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Does anybody else sense that? You look at history, and the very first textbook in American history was called the New England Primer. It was used in the colonies as the first textbook in public education, and as it taught the alphabet to children, the letter A was taught by this saying, "In Adam's fall, sinned we all." The letter B was taught by saying, "Thy life to mend, this book attend." Next to it was a picture of the Bible. Now, that's how public education in America started. Today we have trans story time. We live in a dark age that doesn't help us, want us, to bring up our children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. And motherhood, even the best of times, is not easy. But moms, I want to encourage you this morning, by God's grace and for God's glory, you can do this. By God's grace and for God's glory, you can be a light in this darkness, and you can raise kids to be a light in darkness. You know, often on Mother's Day, the message is about mamas. Today, I want to, if I could, for a few moments, to talk to mamas, to encourage you this morning, to challenge you a little bit this morning. And you know what? In order to do that, we are going to look at a mom who is tasked with raising kids in dark days. You see, Moses' mother lived in Egypt, and Egypt was a very evil place. It worshipped hundreds of various and sundry gods, and it was an evil, cruel, wicked place. In fact, at this point in history, Israel as a nation were actually slaves in Egypt. They were beaten, and they were maligned. They were slaves in Egypt. And actually, by the time we reached chapter number 2, things had gotten so bad that the Pharaoh had decreed that all of the baby boys who were born to the nation of Israel would be murdered, would be thrown into the Nile River and be murdered. Cruel slavery, systematic murder of babies. Plus, Egypt had a fascination with cats. So you know that's bad news, right? I should have just started with that. And honestly, you look at Exodus chapter 2, you might even say at this point, Jochebed, Moses' mother, that was her name, Jochebed was brought to the place where she was tasked with doing a very difficult thing in a very difficult day. Yet this mama, Moses' mama, finds her way into the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Not so much for her story. Though she is mentioned in a way, but not so much for her story, but hear me, for the way that the ripples of her faith created waves in her children that would change the world forever. So this morning, I want to look at this idea of ripples of faith. And really, everything we're going to talk about this morning is parenting. And so, daddies, this is for you too. Because mama shouldn't have to do the job of leading the home. Amen? Men, amen? Amen. Thank you, men. So let's look at this mama together this morning. Let's start by reading verses 1 and 2 again. The Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." What was it about this woman that created ripples of faith? Could I submit to you, number one, that it was a settled character. A settled character. You see, this story starts in Exodus chapter 2 by giving us her pedigree. That this woman may have lived in Egypt, but she was not of Egypt. She was of the house of Levi. She was of the people of God. Though Moses' family had lived in Egypt for generations at this point, Moses' mama never forgot who she was. She did not belong to the nation of Egypt, but she belonged to the people of God. And that settled character in her heart came to define what she did. You know, especially as we look at the passage in Hebrews chapter 11, much is often made of the fact that Moses was given an identity that was able to transcend his circumstance. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse number 24, the Bible says, By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You think about that though. Who had Moses more? Who had him longer? Was it his mother while she was there in that brief time to nurse and to bring him up? Or was it Pharaoh's daughter in the courts and schools of Egypt? Who had Moses longer? Egypt did. But Moses was given an identity that was able to transcend his circumstance. How was Moses able to be given an identity? Could I submit? It was because Moses' mother was able to give him that identity because she herself had an identity that was able to transcend her circumstances. Christians, hear me. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. We are not of this world. We are ambassadors of another country. We are heirs of another family. And the prayer is that that settled character of who we are would allow our kids to see that not fitting in, not going with the flow, not doing what everyone else is doing is not just okay, but it is good and it is necessary because we are citizens of another kingdom. A couple of times I've taken mission trips out of the country. I've been to the nation of Honduras a couple of times. And the funny thing is, every time I go to Honduras, I stand out. I stand out. Others may fit in, but I stand out. Why? Because I look different. Because I talk different. Because I eat different. You know my eating habits. I struggle here, much less other places. I just don't fit in. Why? Because I am not of that country. You know, mamas and daddies, it's important for us to realize who we are. We may be in this world, but we are not of this world. And Moses' mama knew that though she lived in Egypt, she was not an Egyptian. She was of the people of God. And hear me, Christian parents, we belong to the Lord. And we need to have a settled character. Settled. Settled in our hearts that we belong to God. And that we are going to know Him and to love Him and to live for Him. And hear me, it's a good thing for our kids to see this. I guarantee you Moses saw this in his mom. And moms and dads, our kids need to see this in us. They need to see us seek God. They need to see us read our Bibles. They need to hear us praise God. They need to hear us pray to God. They need to see that we belong to God and see us to give and to see us tell and to see us love and to see us forgive. You know what, mamas? What a wonderful thing it would be for our kids to be able to taste and see that the Lord is good through you. Let them see that it doesn't matter what Egypt does. Because as for me in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. Mama, I want to encourage you this morning. Never underestimate the ripples of a mother's faith. And it starts with a settled character. I want to learn something else this morning from Moses' mother. Let's look back at verse number 2. The Bible says of Moses' mother, Jochebed, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. What is it about the ripples of a mother's faith? Well, we see, first of all, we see a settled character. Number 2, could I submit to you this morning that we see a strong conviction. And let me point out before we kind of break down this passage a little bit, only a settled character truly permits you to live with a strong conviction. Only having a settled character, knowing who you are and knowing to whom you belong, truly allows us as moms and dads to live with strong conviction. Because you see, content without conviction is hollow. But conviction without character is hypocrisy. But character that lives out conviction impacts those around it. You know, it took courage for Moses' mother to live out her conviction in Egypt. It took courage for her to live out the conviction to have a godly home. There was probably so much pressure to just fall in line with what everybody else was doing. Can you imagine the stress level in the home every time the baby cried? Worried that she would be figured out. Because remember, that baby had a death sentence on its head. And really, the whole family had a death sentence for violating the order of the king. Can you imagine? Babies, when they cry, it's a bit stressful to begin with. Amen? But could you imagine the tension in that house every time the baby cried? Could you imagine the tension in that house every time somebody knocked at the door? Moms know this is the truth. Moms, you can't even hide from your kids. Mom, 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 mom. They find you. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Amen? They find you. Mom, mom, mom. You can't hide from your kids, much less hide your kids from the government. It took courage. It took courage for her to live out her conviction to have a godly home. Could I point out as well, it took courage for her to live out her conviction of having a guarded home. You know, this is a beautiful thing. The Bible says that she hid him 3 months. That word for hid is an interesting word. It has the idea of to treasure or to store up something valuable. In other words, when she looked at this child and she saw that he was a goodly child, she recognized the value of what God had given her. And she valued and treasured this young boy's life. I want to say this morning very clearly, children are not a burden, they are a blessing. Children are not a burden, they are a blessing. The Bible is very clear, Psalm 127, beginning in verse number 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his delight. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Children are not a burden, they are a blessing. In fact, you think about the first commandment that was given to our first parents, Adam and Eve, was simply what? Be fruitful and multiply. Children are a blessing. And church, we ought to praise the Lord when God blesses families with children. Be glad they're here, amen? Here's the thing about kids. Sometimes they get squirmy, right? Sometimes they get fussy, right? Sometimes they scream and they cry, and sometimes they do it during the service, and sometimes they run up and down the halls, and sometimes they color on the walls, and sometimes they break things, and sometimes children are a lot, amen? But here's the deal, children are always a blessing. They are always a blessing. And that is, Jesus said this, next time you are tempted to get a little frustrated, you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. He said, let them come. Let them come. Let them come. Because here's the thing. You mamas, you bring your children to church, and sometimes you wonder, what's the point? Because you're with them, and you're passing them around, and are you getting anything out of it, and are they getting anything out of it? Yes, 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 1,000 times, yes. Bring them. Let them come, amen? Let them come. Something about forming that identity of being in the house of God with the people of God. They pick up on more than we realize. So bring them. Let them come. And if you think you just can't get over the distraction of little kids every now and then, can I say in love, I can recommend about 12 different churches where you will never be bothered by a little kid again. But by God's grace and for His glory, we will always celebrate when the little ones cry, when they squirm, and we will celebrate the blessing that children are. Children are a blessing, not a burden. And she looked at that child that God had given her, and she saw that he was a goodly child. The Bible says that rather than have him murdered, she hid him. She stored him away. She treasured him those months. And it took courage for her to live out that conviction, not just to have a guarded home, a godly home, but a guarded home. But the thing was, Moses' mama didn't fear the king. It says of her in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse number 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Moses' mama didn't fear the king. She didn't care about the pressure of the culture. She was not going to be conformed to the world. Moses' mama recognized something. Jochebed recognized something. She recognized that she didn't have to sacrifice her kids to this present evil world. By the way, mamas and daddies, that's something we still need to recognize today. We don't have to sacrifice our kids to this present evil world. I'm going to tell you what a blessing it is to have mamas and daddies who are willing to stand with courage and conviction to guard their home from this present evil world that we live in. Now, let me say this before we move forward. The world's not going to understand the way you want to guard your home. By the way, many times your kids will not understand or appreciate the way you want to guard your home. And both of those things are okay. Because God has given mamas and daddies the divine responsibility to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ripples of faith are caused by parents who decide that by God's grace and for God's glory, we are going to be a house where we are simple concerning evil and we are wise concerning good. We are going to be a house where we set no wicked thing before our eyes. That means there are many things we're not going to watch by way of movies. That means there are many shows that we're not going to watch by way of TV. That means there's many things we're not going to be a part of by way of social media, by way of cell phones, by way of friends, by way of music. You know, this whole idea of being sheltered has kind of gotten a bad rap, hasn't it? The idea that we would shelter kids, well, that's just the wrong way to do it. To shelter kids is more harmful than helpful, is what people tell us. And yet the Bible still says in Romans 16 and verse number 19 that we are to be wise, go to the second half of that verse, go to wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil. And here's the thing, we shelter our pets. Oh, little foo-foo, it's cold and wet outside, you come in. We shelter our pets and we shelter our plants. Oh, it's going to be cold outside. I don't want the frost to get them. And so we shelter our plants and we shelter our cars. We get them all spiffy and nice. And so we put them in the garage and nothing can come within so many inches of Dad's car. And it's got to be all nice. And we shelter all these things. We don't think twice about sheltering pets and sheltering plants and sheltering cars. Why have we gotten it in our head that sheltering kids is a bad thing? Kids are way more valuable than Fufu the dog. Kids are way more valuable than the plant. And yes, kids are even way more valuable than the car. And so we shelter all of these other things. Why do we think that somehow mamas and daddies who are willing to stand up and guard their home, why do we allow the world to bully us into thinking that that's a bad thing? Ripples of faith are brought about by strong conviction. No matter the cost, mamas and daddies, we are called to have not only a godly home, but to have a guarded home. Don't worry about being different. Don't worry if every other kid in their class has a cell phone. Don't worry if every other kid in their class has a Snapchat account or an Instagram account or a Twitter account. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about if every other kid in the class is wearing that or watching that. Who cares? Who cares? Don't worry about being different. Hey, I want them to be different, amen? I don't want them to grow up and just to fit in with the statistics of young people today. I want them to be different. And here's the thing. If I want them to be different then, we need to be different now. Strong conviction to have a godly and guarded home. Mamas never underestimate the ripples of a mama's faith. So we've seen a settled character. She knew who she was. We see a strong conviction. I want to see one more thing this morning. We're going to read the rest of the account, verses 3 through 10. The Bible says, and this is amazing. This is amazing what the Lord does here. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses and said, because I drew thee out of the water. Isn't it amazing the way God works this story? Isn't it amazing? Moses' mother sets her son adrift in the little ark, the little basket that she had created. And the Lord brought Pharaoh's daughter along. And instead of killing the baby, the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter had compassion upon the child. And then not only that, but Moses' mother was tapped to nurse and to begin to raise her own child, and she got paid for it. And she got paid for it, amen? I want you to see in regards to this mother and the ripples of her faith, not only, number one, a settled character, not only, number two, a strong conviction. I want you to see in this woman, number three, I want you to see a supreme confidence. You know, Moses' mother, Jochebed, had received her responsibility. She valued the child. She hid the child. She made this basket. She put him in a discreet place in the reeds. Moses' mother received her responsibility, and she did all that she could do. But in the end, what did she have to do? She had to rely upon God for the result. She had to come to the place where her confidence was not in herself, but she was supremely confident that God had a plan, that God would protect, that God would provide, that God would answer prayer. I cannot imagine the emotions that she must have had when she put the basket in that water. You can see with me the ripples that were created when she laid that basket down. the ripples in that water that were created as she let that basket go among the reeds and pushed that basket off. I cannot imagine the fear she must have had when she let go, because she knew she was letting go of her son in the river of death. You see, according to Exodus 1 and verse number 22, they weren't just killing the babies, they were throwing them in the river to die, to drown and be eaten by the Nile crocodiles. That's what they were doing. And so she had literally brought her child to the place that was the river of death. But what she did was that she chose faith in God. She chose faith in God over the fear of the unknown. She chose faith in God over the fear of corruption. She chose faith in God over the fear of man. As we talk about parenting and especially motherhood today, you know, the reality is you can live with character and you can live with conviction, but you still can't change their heart. You can't change their heart. And that's scary, because this world feels big and loud and scary. And make no mistake about it, this world, this evil, present evil world, this wicked culture, they want our kids. And it's unsettling. Several months ago, there was a choir out of the city of San Francisco made up of homosexual men. And they sang a song for the world to hear called, quote, "We Are Coming for Your Children." This is the world in which we live. But mamas and daddies, we have a choice to make. We're either going to approach this day, and we're either going to approach this assignment with fear or with faith. And can I simplify it for you? According to 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, with our settled character and with our strong conviction, we have to have a supreme confidence that though the world seems big, my God is bigger. And though the culture seems strong, my God is stronger. You know, the river was the murder weapon. But what we see in Exodus 2 and what we will come to find is that our God is so great that he can even make the river of death into a river of life. And so, mamas and daddies, what we got to do is we got to stop speaking death over our children. Oh, it's such a hard world, and oh, it's such a hard time, and I don't even know how our children are going to make it. Oh, it's so much worse than when I was growing up, and oh, it's just going to be so hard, and oh boy, I hope they can just hold on till Jesus comes. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Stop. Stop. Please, stop. Because God has brought them into this world for such a time as this. They are still called to be more than conquerors, victors in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a light in the darkness, to be a salt among corruption. That's why God has brought them here and placed them here. And that's why God has given them to you for this season. So we cannot speak death. But in our supreme confidence in the Savior, we speak life. We speak life. We are not victims. We are always victors. Amen. And can I pause here and even make a comment to those mamas and daddies whose children are out of the house? You know, in verse number 10, it says, "And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water." You know, when Moses was out of Jochebed's house, that supreme confidence in God, I imagine, never wavered. I imagine how this woman prayed. You know, Moses' mama knew that he wasn't in a good place. Did you catch this here? He became her, Pharaoh's daughter's son. and she called his name Moses. In other words, this world laid claim to Jochebed's son. She knew he wasn't in a good place. She knew he was under the wrong influences. And you know what we're going to see in the rest of this chapter? How he eventually makes a pretty big mistake. Murders a man and tries to hide it. She knew he'd messed up. But I can guarantee you from what we know about this woman, she never stopped praying for her son. Because at the end of the day, the end of chapter 2 is not the end of the book. And what I always remind myself, mamas and daddies, of children that we are praying for, is that the story's not done yet. And so you just keep on praying, and you just keep on loving, and you just keep on living for Jesus, and you just keep on sharing the good news, and you just keep on keeping on, because we have a supreme confidence, not in our ability, not in this world, not even in this congregation, but in the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty. You know, when you have a supreme confidence in God, may I address another group of mothers and fathers today? When you have a supreme confidence in God, you can learn to let go of the basket. I imagine that's a pretty hard thing to do. You know, we're kind of at that point where Christopher's 10, getting ready to be 11, and Amy's doing math to when he's going to be driving and dreading it. I'm doing math to when he's going to be driving and dreading the insurance premiums. And, you know, you start to realize after 8, and then they hit double digits, you start to realize, boy, our time is short. And there comes a day where you have to let go of the basket. But if the supreme confidence is in God, you can learn to let go of the basket. The reality, I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 127 in verse number 1. The Bible says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Trust God to direct, to deal, to develop our children. Let them see you trust God when life gets hard. And hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. Never underestimate the ripples of faith. You know, the ripples in that water that day, Jochebed saw them. And I cannot imagine what was going through her mind and what was going through her heart as she saw the ripples in the water that day. I imagine she was scared. I imagine she was overwhelmed. I imagine she was pretty downhearted. But here's the thing. Though she saw the ripples in the water that day, I guarantee she never imagined the ripples that her faith would create in her children. And then how her children would change the world. Mamas and daddies, I want to encourage you this morning. This day and this child that God has given you are not for us just to make it through, but for us to make it meaningful. Don't lose sight of the big picture. Don't lose sight. There's so much in life that'll cause us to lose sight. The little things, the shoes in the middle of the floor and the dirty laundry and the water everywhere. It's a fork. Why can't you wash a fork, okay? These things, they can easily blur what it's all about, can't they? You know, it's kind of like if you're trying to take a picture and you accidentally get the tip of your finger over the lens. Isn't it amazing that something so small can blur the big picture? Mamas and daddies, don't just make it through. Make it meaningful. Make it meaningful. And it's hard. It's hard. I mean, Moses' mother, she was a basket case. And sometimes you will be too. And it's okay. But by God's grace, let that character and let that conviction and let that confidence that we have in God create ripples that shape our children's faith and shape their future. Are we grateful this morning for this woman and her her ripples of faith.